أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. صدق الله العظيم. This surah is known as Surah Al-Kafirun, but at the same time this surah is known as Surah Radd Al-Kufr, the surah of rejecting the kufr. And really, this surah very strongly rejects kufr and any type of compromising with kuffar. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, as it is narrated in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, that this surah is the most difficult surah for shaitan. Is the hardest surah on shaitan. Shaitan does not get upset with any other surah of Quran as much as he gets upset with this surah, Surah Al-Kafirun. And this is why this was one of the most liked surahs by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever he wanted to make a short salah, most of the time he would choose Surah Al-Kafirun, and then in the next rak'ah, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Because this surah will reject the kufr, and that surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, confirms the iman and tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting both surahs together is a complete iman. This is the reason when one of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me something that I can recite before going to bed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every night when you go to bed, recite Surah Al-Kafirun with other du'as, of course. At the end, he said, recite Surah Al-Kafirun. فَإِنَّهَا بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ الشِّرْكِ, because it's a protection against shirk. And it also proves that you have nothing to do with shirk. Before going into the detail of the surah, just taking this part of the surah and sometime when we talk about these type of ayahs of Al-Quran that are protection against shirk or that prove that we have nothing to do with shirk, we are free of shirk, many times we feel that this surah is for those people who are kuffar and for them to come into Islam or for new Muslims who have doubt in their iman. But alhamdulillah, my iman is perfect and complete. And therefore, I might recite the surah for reward. But we need to realize there are two different things. One is the reward and the other is the worldly benefit. Worldly benefit means the benefit that we receive in this world, which is the protection against kufr. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi to recite Surah Al-Kafirun at the time of going to bed. Now let's go one step further and we will realize that one of the last prayers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be Salatul Witr. Witr was the last prayer of the night, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally would not perform any tahajjud. And in Salatul Witr, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite In the second rak'ah, he used to recite Surah Al-Kafirun. First rak'ah, Surah Al-A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. Second rak'ah, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. And third rak'ah, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. And as I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved the surah. And this is why we see him choosing the surah whenever he wanted to perform short two rak'ahs. For example, two rak'ahs, the sunnah before Fajr. It is sunnah to recite Surah Al-Kafirun and Surah Al-Ikhlas because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite these two surahs in the sunnahs of Fajr. Then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Maghrib, he used to perform two short rak'ahs and then some long rak'ahs. The sunnahs used to be short. And then he would go home and perform long rak'ahs, or even the sunnahs, of course, he used to perform them at home. But then he used to perform long rak'ahs of nafl prayer that he normally used to recite most of the Qur'an or large portion of the Qur'an during the time from Maghrib to Isha. So even in those two short sunnahs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most of the time used to choose Surah Kafirun in the first rak'ah and Ikhlas in the second rak'ah. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad in the second rak'ah. Then we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went for Hajj. At that time, after Tawaf, of course, now they are in rush to perform the Sa'i. So he wanted to perform two rak'ah of Tawaf, and of course we know that we have to perform two rak'ah after making the Tawaf. Since he wanted to make those two rak'ah short, these are the same two surahs that he chose even at that time, Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas. Aisha radiallahu anha says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Aisha, how beautiful those two rak'ahs are that are recited in the sunnahs of Fajr, Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas. Even though the surahs are very short, but the message of these surahs is very important. So these are some of the prayers that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to choose, Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas, for the recitation in those surahs, in those prayers, in those salah. But I was mentioning about night time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted each and every person in the ummah every night to spend some time to think that I would like to get myself free of every shirk, of all the shirk. And I would like to get myself into perfect iman and confirm my iman and my oneness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he asked that Sahabi to recite Surah Kafirun at the time of going to bed. And then in Salatul Witr also, the sunnah is to recite Surah Al-Kafirun in the second rak'ah. And now if we look at the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally used to make in Salatul Witr. Part of that dua is, وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْتِرُكُ, which is a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we leave alone and we stay away from those مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ, those who are disobeying you. As we stay away from kufr, we need to stay away from kuffar also. This is a promise that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night. وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Ya Allah, we leave alone and we stay away from those who disobey you. مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. And this surah, as inshallah we'll go into the detail of this surah, we'll realize that this surah, basic message of this surah is teaching the ummah that we really need to make it very clear to the kuffar, to disbelievers, that we are not willing to make any compromise in our deen. When it comes to deen, not only we are not willing, we don't even have a choice over there. As it is narrated in the tafsir and in the history, that when Surah Al-Kahf was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were people in Surah Kahf, the event of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, the whole story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam with Al-Khidr radiallahu anhu is narrated there. So, part of this story is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Al-Khidr radiallahu anhu, they both went to a town where they were hungry, and they wanted someone to feed them. Quran says, فَأَبَوْ أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا أَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Right. So there was a town where they went and they fixed a wall over there. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, he fixed a wall for free. But the people of that town, they refused to feed these people. فَأَبَوْ أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضَّ فَأَقَامَهُ. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to Al-Khidr, why did you fix the wall for free? You should have charged these people, because these people did not feed us. So you charge them for fixing the wall, so at least we can buy some food for ourselves. Of course, the wisdom of it is mentioned there. I don't want to go into the detail of this story at this time. But during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the people of that town went to Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and they said, Umar, this ayah of Quran, because of this ayah, everyone is blaming us that you are from the town that refused to feed the Prophet of Allah. That town was called Ninwa at that time. So those people came to Umar radiallahu anhu and they complained that everyone is blaming us. We are not the people who rejected to feed those Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. But now people are blaming us. So we have a request. Our request is that Quran says, فَأَبَوْ أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. Aba means to refuse. They refuse to feed them. Umar, please do us a favor. What is that? He said, they said, take the dot of this ba out. Take the dot of the ba out and put two dots on top. That will make it فَأَتَوْ أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. They all came to feed them. We'll change the meaning. You change the ba to ta, and right away the meaning, instead of meaning refuse to feed them, the meaning will become they all came to feed them. The most important reason that I'm narrating this event for is the reply of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was, of Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, you people should know that even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive, he had no right to make any changes in Quran and in this deen. Even the Prophet of Allah had no right to make any changes. Forget about Umar. This is what he said to those people. So when it comes to making any compromise in deen, this is not my deen, Allah's deen. This is the deen that Allah has perfected. Allah has perfected this deen. He is the one who revealed this deen. He is the one who completed this deen. And there was no time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consulted us whether this should be like this or that. So we have no right to put our opinion over there that this should be like this and this should be like that. And we can change this in this way because of those people. We have no right to do that. As when some people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, O Prophet of Allah, we are willing to accept Islam, but we have few requirements and conditions before becoming Muslims. What are those requirements? They said, Ya Rasulullah, it's very difficult for us to perform the daily 5 prayers. It's too much for us. So if you reduce the number of prayers for us, make it 2 or 3 prayers maximum. 5 is too much, we cannot do it. And at the same time, we are used to drinking alcohol. We cannot let this habit go. And also, they were from Bahrain. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, in winter our country gets very cold. So we must drink alcohol to keep ourselves warm over there. And we are farmers, we work in our farms, so we drink alcohol that keeps us warm and gives us the energy to work. So these are some conditions that if you would fulfill them and if you would accept them, then we are willing to become Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can you expect yourself to be Muslim without performing the salah? He said, without salah there is no iman. How do you expect yourself to remain Muslim without being punctual in these prayers? Okay, Ya Rasulullah, if this is must, then we will do this. But Ya Rasulullah, do something about drinking alcohol. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he became very clear and straightforward to these people. He said, listen, this deen is the deen of Allah. I'm a messenger of Allah. My responsibility is to convey the message of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me any right to make any changes in deen. All he asked me is to convey the message of Islam and to practice it and become a model for people. I have no right to change it. If you want to accept it the way it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go ahead and take the shahada. And if you feel that you are not satisfied with it, then I'm not forcing you to become Muslims. You have the right not to become Muslim. But if you want to become Muslim, then you have to take the whole thing as it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a person who can gather a lot of people around him. And I'm willing to become Muslim. And I can do a lot if I become Muslim. I have one condition. The condition is, you assign me as your Khalifa, as your successor after you. Put in my name as your Khalifa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up a small piece of wood from the ground. And he said, even if you ask me for this as a condition to become Muslim, I won't give it to you. If you would like to accept Islam without any condition, and the way it is, then go ahead and take it. And if you have any conditions for becoming Muslims, then go away from Islam. Then Islam doesn't need you. Very straightforward and very clear. So this is basically what the surah is teaching us. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ Say, all these believers, I do not worship what you worship. To understand the message of the surah perfectly, we must know the background of the revelation of the surah, which is called Sababun Nuzul or Sha'nun Nuzul. The Kuffar of Quraysh, after trying their best to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from conveying the message of Islam, they did everything possible. They offered him a lot of things. Of course, they tried to threaten him, torturing Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, throwing garbage in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home. They did everything in that way, but they realized it does not work. Then they used another way. They offered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wealth. They offered him anything else, kingdom, woman, whatever he wanted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rejected all of that also. So they realize the most important thing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is deen, is al-Islam. So they came up with a solution now according to their understanding. What was that solution? They said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we offered you everything and you have rejected. Now we came with an offer that you should really be pleased with, and you should have no excuse for rejecting it. He said, what's that? They said, now we are willing to follow your deen. What can be better than that? But the way it will be, the way it will work, it will be that you follow our deen for 1 year and next year we all become Muslims. So we'll have alternate. 1 year all of us mushriks, the next year everyone Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course, I can never accept something like this. So they said, Ya Rasul, okay, Ya Muhammad, if you are so strong about it, and you know that you have divided our community, now we are trying to unite. And nowadays, this is a very strong point. Unite the Ummah. When this point of unity comes, then we forget even about Islam. Subhanallah, uniting on what? In our masajid, in our gatherings, we talk about unity, and truly speaking, when we talk about unity, we forget about Islam. Now, unite people no matter what happens. If everyone says reject deen, reject deen. If people will say having dance in the masjid, to unite people, okay. You know, for the sake of unity, let's have dance in the masjid. For the sake of unity, they will do anything against the Sharia of Islam and against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are getting united on what? If we are getting united on anything against the Sharia, then we are getting united on kufr. Then we are getting united on the ways of shaitan. So why this unity is for? Shaitan makes us forget that if unity is there, it has to be for deen. Unity has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there is unity against the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by uniting ourselves on something, by using haram means and doing something haram, are we pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not, we are pleasing shaitan. Shaitan will be the happiest person at that time that these people were not able to unite on salah, they were not able to unite on the Quran, but they got united on something haram. This is what he unites us on. And unfortunately, everywhere we go, you see people doing in their masajid, in their community centers, doing something that is haram. You ask them why? You know, if we won't do it like this, people won't come. Subhanallah. You want people to come to do sins? You want to bring people to teach them how to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the purpose of having the masajid? Then these people are already doing all of these evils out there at their workplace and in their stores and out everywhere else. Then what's the reason of building houses on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when the subject of unity comes, subhanallah, we forget everything else. To the extent that we forget even what is Quran and what is Hadith. So many places, and of course, you know, I keep on traveling, so many places when we go to, I talk to the imams, especially one problem is everywhere. And most of the masajid is there. When they have a gathering, social gatherings, of course for us, every gathering is Islamic gathering. But through their understanding, social gathering, and in those gatherings, they have mixed gatherings. On the same table, there are men, women sitting, eating. There are people going from one table to another table. People are talking to each other. So the hijab and everything, those orders of Sharia, they all neglected. And of course, then you will see in those gatherings, women without hijab, without even forgetting about hijab, without even a scarf, and with a makeup and everything, with all of that beauty, which is something that even if you open the Quran, some ayahs, these ayahs of Quran and Hadith, to a kafir, he will be able to tell you that this is haram. According to your deen, this is haram. Now you ask our imams and our leaders and our brothers and sisters, why you are allowing this? You know, this is the only time when people come. This is the only way people come to masjid. If we will separate, if we will do this, if we do that, if we stop them, then they won't come. So at least bring them to masjid like this. Subhanallah. Bring them to masjid for doing the haram. And establish something haram in the house of Allah to bring people to Allah. Are we pleasing Allah? This is what unity to us means nowadays. To many people, unity, this is what it means. That do it haram way because people are not, they don't like deen. People don't like deen. So they don't want to come for deen. So let's do something haram. They like all of these haram things. Bring them for haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear that these things are not allowed in our deen. And whatever is not allowed, even the Prophet of Allah has no choice of changing it. A woman who was considered a very respected and noble woman and from a very noble clan of Arabs. And she was caught stealing something. All the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in got worried that now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to cut her hand. This is the punishment according to the Sharia. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will apply this punishment to this woman. And if this would happen, the whole clan might turn against us. And this is a very important clan at this time for us to have. We have a lot of help from these people for Islam. And just for this woman to lose the help of this whole clan is not a wise thing to do at this time. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they got together, they had their meeting before the thing will be presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before the case will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, somehow we have to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explain to him, Ya Rasulullah, we know that this is deen, but at this time, Ya Rasulullah, in these beginning days of Islam in Medina, Ya Rasulullah, we don't feel it will be a wise thing to do to cut her hand. We will have a lot of difficulties then. The whole clan will turn against us. Ya Rasulullah, please just consider the situation, and we are just establishing Islam in this Medina Munawwara. There are so many munafiqeen around here who will try to take advantage of this occasion and they will turn people against us. So Ya Rasulullah, then we will not have a good room to work for deen. Now who would talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who can speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it? So they said, there is only one person who can really do it. Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhu. A person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. He was a child. But of course, he was young at that time. He was the son of Zayd bin Haritha radiyallahu anhu. And we know that Zayd was the Sahabi who, in the beginning, he was adopted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even to the extent people used to call him Zayd bin Muhammad. Rasulullah, then the ayah of Quran al-Kareem was revealed, Ud'uhum li abaihim. Call them with the name of their fathers. Don't change the name of their father. So don't call him Zayd bin Muhammad anymore. Of course, as we are talking about and as we touch this subject, let me just go a little, mention one more thing about this Sahabi Zayd radiallahu anhu. This is the only Sahabi whose name is mentioned in Quran. There is no other Sahabi whose name directly is mentioned in Quran. Yes, there are some qualities of some Sahaba mentioned, and there is reference to some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in without their name. For example, it says, "O wives of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So we're referring to those wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And about when the ayahs of Hijrah talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's migration, it says, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when he was saying to his friend, his companion, and that is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the name is not mentioned. But we know that this is that person. But the only person whose name is mentioned in Quran is Zayd radiallahu anhu. The question comes, why only Zayd? Why not any other Sahabi? Why this is the only Sahabi whose name is mentioned? Mufassirin have mentioned a very important rule over here. That Zayd radiallahu anhu was called Zayd bin Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, by revealing an ayah of Quran, took that title away from him, that no more he will be called Zayd bin Muhammad. So he lost such a great virtue in Quran because of that ayah of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want this Sahabi to be heard. So he mentioned another ayah where he mentioned his name over there, so he will have something else that he will be happy with. Okay, if my name is taken from the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that now people won't be calling me Zayd bin Muhammad, but at least now my name will be recited in Quran al-Kareem. So subhanallah, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to hurt the feeling of one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for that he mentioned his name over there, because he took his title from there. He separated the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his name, which wasn't something very easy for Zayd radiallahu anhu to take. That, oh, up to now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name was with my name, Zayd bin Muhammad. But now, Quran says, no, this is not allowed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his name in Quran, so at least something that he's pleased with. Anyway, Usama radiallahu anhu, the son of Zayd radiallahu anhu, he was chosen to go and talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That woman's name was Fatima also. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a daughter whose name was Fatima. We all know that. And that woman's name was Fatima also. When Zayd radiallahu anhu, when Usama radiallahu anhu, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he went and he mentioned the concern of all the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he requested, Ya Rasulullah, please, all the Sahaba requesting, do not cut her hand, because just because of this one thing we will have a lot of difficulty spreading Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in mentioned that we have never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam so angry as much as he was that day. He was never so angry in his life as angry he was that day of his life. Then he said, he went up on the minbar, he said to Usama, go and call all the Sahaba. I want to talk to all of them. They made an announcement in Medina Munawwara that all the people get together in the Haram, in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like to talk to you, and he would like to give a lecture, khutbah. When they got together, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up on the minbar. He said, people, are you people are having meeting to make me change deen? Do you expect me to change the deen of Allah and the sharia of Allah? He said, this is the problem that was in the previous ummahs. That when a wealthy person and a person who's of any position and power in the community will do something wrong, they never used to apply the rules of sharia to that person. And when a poor person will do something, then they will apply all the rules of the sharia to that person. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this statement, which is not a very simple statement. A very important statement from a Prophet of Allah. He said, I swear by God, لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها. If Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, would have done this, I would cut even her hand. Not to talk about that Fatima. He said, even if this was the daughter of the Prophet of Allah, I would still cut her hand. And let the Ummah till the day of judgment will say that Prophet's daughter was caught stealing. He said, still I would do it. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear, there is no compromise. Being the way it came, we have to take it the same way or leave it. One of the main reasons the previous ummahs were punished, especially Yahud, Jews, they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not only punished, they got a title of Al-Maghdubi alayhim. The people who got the wrath of Allah, the la'na of Allah, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on whom Allah will be angry forever, and on the day of judgment Allah will not even look toward these people. One of the main reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضُ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضُ. Do you accept some part of the book and you reject the rest of the parts of the book? This was the reason. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever will do this with the book of Allah will accept some part of the book and reject the rest of the part of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the punishment for that person in this world, those people will be humiliated. خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. On the day of judgment, they will face the worst punishment of Allah. Imagine. And this ayah also tells us a very important rule. Now, even though we are going away now, and we have to go back to the surah and finish the subject, but this is also related to the subject of the surah. A very important point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, that there is a difference between believers and disbelievers. Disbelievers, those people have already got the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these people will have all the success in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care about them, because the punishment in the akhirah is already there for them. But those people who are supposed to be the carrier of this deen, and the ones who are trusted with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with this deen, if these people will neglect the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not follow the complete message of Allah as it came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then I will humiliate these people in this life. So that the ummah will realize, if we are going towards humiliation, we will realize that we are going away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to get back all the honor and respect in the world, then we have to come back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the ummah goes towards the humiliation, then we need to realize, وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. This humiliation is the sign that in the akhirah there is azab for this ummah. Because the reason of humiliation in this life is, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضُ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضُ. Accepting some part of the book and rejecting the rest of the book. Isn't this exactly what is happening to the ummah now? This is exactly what's going on with us, with the ummah. We discuss about different masail of fasting, of salah and this, but we forget that this is not as important as much as it's important to stay away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sins that are obviously in the ahadith are very clear that this is haram. And we are doing it in our homes, we are doing it in our workplace, we are doing it in our masajid, we are doing it in our community centers, everywhere those sins are getting practiced, and we are doing them. And then, just like this reminds me of a person from Baghdad who went to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, I have a question about deen. You know, Baghdad is the place where Iraq is the place where people murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu in Karbala, which is in Iraq. So those people, they killed the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now there is one of those people from Iraq, he went to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, and he asked him this question. That sometime when I perform salah, a mosquito comes and tries to bite. If I kill the mosquito, the blood of the mosquito will be on my clothes. Is it okay for me, allowed for me to continue my salah? Is it allowed for me to continue with performing my salah? Or my salah breaks because of the blood of the mosquito? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said, after shedding the blood of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are asking me about the blood of a mosquito now? He said, the blood of the mosquito is more important than the blood of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your salah won't be accepted even if you have no blood and you have perfect wudu and perfect tahara after doing all what you have done to that person, to that great person in Islam. Which simply means that we look at these minor things and make them very important. And things that are very important in Islam, disobeying Allah clearly, and those things are totally accepted, and they are nothing. We come to masajid and fight about whether the saf should be like this or saf should be like this, whether this imam should stand here or there. And when we go home, the music, pictures, TV, everything is up there, and we never even question about ourselves whether this is allowed or not. All the fight and the wars comes only in the masajid. And in our home, every haram is acceptable. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Do you accept some part of the book and reject the rest of the book? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Once the ummah will start doing this, then ummah will be humiliated in this life, وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, and in the akhirah, أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ, the worst punishment. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what you are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was mentioning, these kuffar of Quraysh, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, or Ya Muhammad, of course, because they are kuffar, they will not say Rasulullah, they will say, Ya Muhammad. We will worship for the sake of unity. We came with this resolution now. That you worship our idols for a year, and we will worship your God for a year. In other words, we all become Muslims, believers, mu'mineen for a year, and then all of us together will become mushriks for a year. So this will have a unity in the world, and we all will be united. At least there will be no differences then. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused that, they said, okay, we will become Muslims for 2 years, and you worship our idols, and you become a mushrik for 1 year. So it will be 2 to 1. Of course, that's not acceptable either. 3, 4, 5. These people, they don't care about their religion. It doesn't hurt them if they would leave their religion. And believe me, even up to this day, kuffar, we will see it, they don't care about their religion. They can let anything from their religion go if they can make us just miss one salah. It's very important now, many times, in many places in the world, and even in this part of the world,
These people, they don't try that us or our children become Christians or Jews. In fact, Jews, they don't even want people to become Jews. They don't even accept people to accept and to get in to become Jews. But what these people want is that they don't want Muslims to remain Muslims. This is what those people wanted to. That okay, we will worship your God and we will become Muslims for 5 years, and you worship our idols only for 1 year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, the surah of Quran al-Kareem, making it very clear to those kuffar and generally to the whole world. Qul, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to these people, Ya ayyuha, O you al-kafirun, O you disbelievers. Now, if today we are talking to a gathering and we tell them, O disbelievers, some of our brothers and sisters might get upset that no, this looks like a curse. Don't tell them disbelievers, say people. But when these people are trying to get us away from our deen, then we have to make it very clear that this is iman and kufr. O disbelievers, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, O disbelievers, La a'budu ma ta'budun, I do not worship what you people are worshipping. Wala antum a'biduna ma a'bud, under this condition, even you people are not worshipping what I worship. Now, if you look at the ayahs, again the same thing is repeated. Wala ana a'bidum ma a'badtum wala antum a'biduna ma a'bud, which means the same. But the first two ayahs are about present. That at this time, I am not worshipping what you people are worshipping, and you are not worshipping what I am worshipping. And in future also, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ, I will never worship what you people are worshipping, and you will never worship. You will never worship what I am worshipping, because you have a condition. And when you have a condition, then there is no way that you people will ever worship what I am worshipping. So neither at present nor in future, never expect even any changes in this regard. This is what Quran is saying by repeating it. That at this time I'm not accepting it. But don't feel that later on you can pressure me or do something else by which I would accept this. No, even in future, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ, even in future, I will never worship what you people are worshipping, and you people will never worship what I'm worshipping, because you have a condition and your condition will never be fulfilled. And if this is your condition, and this is the only condition under which you are willing to become Muslims, then لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ, you have your way of life, I have my way of life. We can never get together. What does لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ means? Breaking the unity that these people came up with. They came with the resolution of unity, that we would like to unite the Ummah. We would like to get united, because now some of our children are Muslim, some of them are, some of the husbands are becoming Muslims, some of the wives are becoming Muslims, and we are all getting divided. So, for the sake of unity, they said, we all should be Muslims together and should be kafirs together. Lakum deenukum waliya deen is rejecting that resolution, that I am not willing to accept nothing of that kind, that you have your way of life, I have my way of life, so there will be differences, and I can never have unity in this regard. And this is really a message for us, a very important message for us. In fact, I should say a neglected message by the Ummah. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. When any person is doing anything against the Sharia of Islam, against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to tell them, Lakum deenukum waliya deen. You have your way of life, I have my way of life. I can never follow that way of life. I can never neglect my deen. Whether it's our family member,
whether it's our communities, whether whoever that might be, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَالْيَدِينُ, when it comes to opposing the deen of Islam, and someone is doing something against the Sharia of Islam and wants us to be united on something haram, on doing something which is not acceptable in all by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَالْيَدِينُ. You have your way of life, I have my way of life. This raises another very important question. Does Islam, under any circumstances, allow us to have any type of unity with disbelievers? So remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, كُلُّ صُلْحٍ جَائِزٌ إِلَّا صُلْحًا أَحَلَّ حَرَامًا أَوْ حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا. To have any type of agreement with disbelievers, with kuffar, is allowed as long as, because of that agreement, we are not changing the laws of the Sharia. Halal is not becoming haram, and haram does not become halal. So as long as they don't attack the Sharia, and they don't try to make any changes in Sharia, and we do not have to make any changes in the Sharia, then of course we are allowed to have any type of agreement with the kuffar, with disbelievers. But as soon as it will become, they will try to make any changes in deen, then we are not allowed to accept any of those conditions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qalam, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ. Disbelievers always hope, if you are willing to compromise, they are always willing to compromise. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They wish, they hope, if you are willing to compromise, then they are always willing to compromise. They have no importance of their deen, as their Pope and many of the leaders nowadays are raising this question, that many Christians turn away from Christianity and they become Muslims. We never say anything to those people. But why do you people get upset when any Muslim becomes a Christian? Very clear. That you have no importance of your deen. Your children run away from your home, you smile to them. Your children do anything haram, you laugh at them. You don't care. Some of your people turn away from deen, you say, who cares? But for us, deen means something. When a citizen of the country does something wrong in this country and runs away from the country and takes refuge in some other country, they run after him and bring him from there. Now, how come you people don't say, they apply the same rule here, that who cares? Let him go if he wants to leave the country, and we won't just allow him to come back to our country, that's all. We are not allowing him to get into our country again. He can live, go and live anywhere else in the world. No, we have to get him here. So when people turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the deen of Allah, after becoming the citizens of this country, after accepting la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now I have to punish these people too. Very simple. And we see it nowadays, very clear. They're running after so many people out of the country. They want this people, person is wanted, the other person is wanted. And then when they go to different countries, bring people from there. And then they apply the rules to those people. People from other countries, they hand over people to Israel, to those countries. Why? Why doesn't this person have the freedom now? And subhanAllah, this is a whole subject by itself. When they talk about freedom, people should have freedom. I don't know what freedom they mean. The only freedom they are asking to apply in the world is the freedom from Islam. That's all. Not the freedom from their rules. You ask them, they talk freedom, freedom, people should have freedom. Ask them. If a person feels that every wealthy person, anyone who has a lot of wealth, who has nice car, that person should share his wealth with other poor people. So this is why we see any wealthy people person, we are going to rob him, we are going to take his car, we are going to take his money, we are going to force him to sign a check. Are you going to give those people a freedom? Okay, because this is what you feel. If not, then where do we draw the line for freedom? So the freedom comes only in their mind, which they cannot say. They have drawn a line. The line is Islam. If a person says he wants to practice Islam, then we'll say, you know, there's no freedom there. Then there is no freedom. If a person says, according to my religion, this is what I'm supposed to do, we say, no. We have all kind of people in this country, and we have to be, you have to do what everyone else has to do. And anyone does anything against Islam, then there is total freedom. Total freedom for anything against Islam. And you do something against any other religion, then all the freedom goes away. Now there is no more freedom anymore. And this is when people speak about freedom, we have to really realize many times even our own people get attracted by this title. Oh yeah, there has to be some freedom. If a person writes something against Quran, he has a freedom. But we have to realize that there is a line drawn already there that we don't see. If we won't open our eyes, we don't see the line drawn over there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they always hope if you are willing to compromise, to let something go from your deen, فَيُدْهِنُونَ They are always willing to compromise. So we have to realize that the kuffar will always be willing to compromise. But we can never compromise with our deen. We have to hold strongly to each and everything that is in Quran and Hadith without making any changes. If they tell us that this is what we do in our church, so this is what you are supposed to do in your masjid, subhanAllah, we cannot do it. So, this Quran is really, this ayah of Quran, this surah of Quran al-Kareem is the surah of Raddul Kufr, rejecting kufr, and rejecting each and everything that comes from kufr and kuffar. This is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahabi to recite the surah every night at the time of going to bed, to realize that we are not willing to accept anything from kufr, and we have nothing to do with kufr and kuffar. So every night we need to reject this kufr, and we have to reject the shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the complete and perfect iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to stay away from everything that's come from kufr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to follow and practice the perfect deen as it was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.